intellectually petty, radio on your stereo. Don't compare us to anything, this a different scenario. We break records while we pushing the culture forward. Great music and big vibes right in that order. Intellectually petty, radio on the stereo. Don't compare us to anything, this a different scenario. We break records while we pushing the culture forward. Great music and big vibes right in that order.
And you are now tuned into another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio, brought to you by M3S3 Clothing, Men Make Moves and Suckers Stand Still, and as always, the mighty, mighty, mighty Nerd DJs Radio Network. Man, y'all already know, man, we only rock with legends around here, and today is absolutely no exception. We got, I want to make sure I say his name right. We got the future light heavyweight champ, Aliko Yusef Shakur, in the building. You may know him as Smart Guy _ on Instagram. Man, the brother just drops jewels after jewels after jewels. It is an extreme honor and a privilege. What's going on, King?
Oh, man, I appreciate you. Just leaving the boxing gym. Getting ready to take a quick nap. Then I got my second workout because I'm actually fighting May 2nd. So I'm in camp now training for a fight on May 2nd.
Who are you fighting?
I'm going to know in a couple days. So I've already signed the contract. Now they're just waiting to find me an opponent.
Okay, is that difficult not knowing who it is but still having to train? Like, would you prefer to be able to know who it is, be able to watch some tape and kind of train to that opponent?
It's levels to boxing. So, I'm building myself up.
Okay.
So eventually I'm going to get to the point where I know in advance who I'm signing on to fight and stuff like that. But right now, I'm paying my dues. So
understood.
We prepare for anything. We prepare for Orthodox. We prepare for Southpaw. We prepare for somebody skinny, muscles, boxer, brawler. You know what I'm saying? We prepare for everything. It's like a 99 cent store. Everything you need is in this motherfucker.
I'm not mad at that, bro. Yeah. Yo, man, matter of fact, last week I had Rico O'Quinn out of Detroit on. I don't know if you're familiar, boxer, bantamweight, I believe. And I asked him, I said, what's it like getting punched and not being able to get angry? Same question to you.
Right.
And not necessarily not be able to get angry, but being angry is not conducive to victory.
But say it again.
I said, what's it like being punched and having to control your anger?
Anger clouds your judgment. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So anger clouds your judgment and it makes it hard for you to select punches that
you just disappeared, bro.
Oh, sorry. Can you see me?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, so anger clouds your judgment, and then it makes it hard for you to select punches that you need to select in order to be successful. So it's fairly easy, but you prepare to be in those situations and scenarios, and through your training and your coaching, being in the gym, you train your mind to have more control over your emotions.
Okay. Yo, how long have you been boxing?
Going on 4 years now.
Okay. I saw a clip of you, man, and you were talking about your grandfather.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was tough. It was tough to hear. What was the most valuable lesson he dropped on you?
Never let nobody play with your mind. I've never forgotten that. Like my grandfather set the foundation. And this is why it's so important for parents to understand that children hold on to things that you say to them. So you got to be careful with what you say to the child, because those words are like seeds being planted in their subconscious mind. And as they and as they grow, their growth is the watering of those seeds. And then those seeds that you planted in their subconscious mind becomes characteristics, becomes the mindset. So my grandfather was very, very keen on making sure that I understood how powerful and important it was to not only use my mind, but protect my mind.
You know, that's interesting, man. My middle daughter, she's 30 now. I don't know, maybe she was about 6, 7. I cracked a joke on her, and she started crying. She started crying.
Wow.
I felt absolute, like, that was one of the worst feelings I've had in my life. I've never cracked a joke on her since.
Right, right. And again, I think it's important to understand that everybody's pain threshold is different too, right? Because I got 8 brothers.
Facts.
And I had it hard growing up. So there's certain things that I'm grateful for, mm-hmm. that haven't went through the hardships that create gratitude. So they you know, hardships create gratitude, right? So, mm-hmm. but my brothers haven't went through certain things to be grateful for certain things. And things that bother them would have never bothered me. So I had to learn in terms of like how to be a better, bigger brother by having more patience with them and more empathy for their lack of a pain threshold. Like my ability to take on pain is way more higher than my brother's.
Mm.
So I had to understand that in certain areas, they're not as strong as me, and it's not wise for me to fault them for being weak. It's necessary for me to explain, help them cope and get through and get past whatever that weakness or that pain is actually is.
Okay, when did you find Allah?
Well, God. I mean, I always knew God. I never get caught up in semantics, right? Like people feel. For some reason, people feel like, man, God is, Allah is just Arabic for God.
So, and you know what? And maybe I said that wrong. Not necessarily. When did you find him for yourself? Because, you know, like when you're 2 years old and your mama telling you about God, you're aware of kind of the concept to some extent. But yep. Then there's that moment that religious-wise, you find God for yourself. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think my whole life I always knew who God was because I was always in tough situations where I had to call on God.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very aware of a higher power because I was going through things that I didn't have the power to overcome. Right?
Okay.
So I think an important a turning point for me was I was in a group home and I was going through a lot. And one of the counselors in the group home, he was actually Muslim. And I was asking him questions. And he had told me, he was like, hey, man, people choose to follow what their fathers follow. And that's all he told me. And we parted ways. And then I went to my room and I sat in my room and in the group home. And I was just looking at the ceiling the whole night. Like, wow, like, I'm not praying as a Muslim. I'm not praying as a Christian. I'm not praying as nothing. I want to go to heaven. I want a better life. You're real, then show me. And that was, I think I would say about at 13 years old, that's when the relationship with God was starting to be, I started to cultivate it, actually.
Has he talked, I mean, like, did he talk to you?
Absolutely.
See, I believe in God, but I don't believe that he's ever spoken to me.
Yeah, I mean, because you wasn't listening right. God uses a language tailored to you.
So how can I listen wrong then?
You can listen wrong because you're just not you're not paying attention. You're asking for something, and you don't have the patience to wait for it to come, or you're too busy worrying about what you're dealing with, as opposed to letting God take precedence over your life and present himself.
How old are you, bruh? I was like, I'm supposed to be the old wise nigga, man. And you, like you are wise beyond my years.
Right, but see, age doesn't dictate wisdom. Experience does, right?
Okay.
That's one. And then number two, God chooses, I've prayed for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Once I heard about the story of Solomon, right? So I'm in South Pole Box, right? And I found out about the story of Solomon and how he had prayed and asked God for knowledge, and God made him the smartest person in the world. So once I heard about that story, I said, shit, I'm going to ask God, see where this goes. And I asked God to give me... What are you doing, man? Dumbass. I asked God to give me...
I understand. We all been there, bro.
I asked God, you know, I asked God to give me wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And man, did he pour it on me or pour it into me?
Is it a burden?
It used to be. See, when you don't understand the purpose for your level of consciousness, then it can be a burden. But when you understand that level of awareness, that level of consciousness, or being woke or being awakened, that's for you to assist people in the same thing that woke you up. But you don't control the alarm clock. See, a lot of motherfuckers that have knowledge and wisdom, it becomes a burden because you want to wake people up. You want people to have your level of understanding. So you want to wake people up, but only God controls the clock. Only God controls when that alarm go off, when they can wake up, realize, and actually see the light and understand what you're trying to convey to them. So for me, to answer your question, it definitely used to be a burden, but now I understand that things happen not on my time, but on divine time, on God's time. So it gives me the patience to allow whatever I'm given to come into fruition for the person that I'm giving it to. And it also taught me to be empathetic and nurturing. And it's not about me getting the credit for sharing the information.
It just seems like it invites a lot of pain by people wanting, being attracted to that and wanting to unleash on you things that they're going through to get some help.
Right.
I don't know if I like people enough for that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, to each his own. Some people play basketball, some people play golf, man. you know how it goes, man. Steph Curry got a jump shot. Tiger Woods got a hole in one, man.
I'm not mad at that. What's the No Labels Tour?
So the No Labels Tour is, it was something I created to help our people, change their way of thinking, reprogram their subconscious mind, and teaching them the power of, you know, neuroscience, how the brain works, and just letting them know who the fuck they are.
Bruh, do you enjoy anything? Like, I see you, like, at home meditating and floating, eating grapes and shooting lightning bolts or some shit. Like, what's fun for you? What is something you can do where you don't have to think and you just, or is that boxing for you?
Well, I am what the ancestors prayed for. I am the concept. I am vengeance. I am redemption. I am reparation. I am elevation. I am utopia. So for me, I believe that God has chosen me and called me to do some things. And it's a very selfless position. And I cannot allow my recreational desires to hinder me or get in the way of what God has designed me to do. So I take pleasure in living in my purpose.
Wow. I wonder, you know, does I want. Do you think God laughs?
Absolutely.
I had somebody on before, and I asked them, I said, okay, you're sitting on a park bench, and God comes and sits next to you and says, I'll allow you to ask me three questions. Mm-hmm. Would you take that opportunity to ask God anything? And if so, what would be your three questions?
Nothing, because I learned a long time ago to stop questioning God.
I've heard that before, and I've always felt like I think he made us with free will to question him.
See, a question removes accountability. See? So people question God because they're not either aware of the opportunities that God has afforded them, mm-hmm. or they're not capable of utilizing the gifts God has given them, right? Or they just deflect. God gave us life. God gave us beautiful minds. God did give us free will. What is there to question when he gave us the actual brain to answer the question ourselves that we want to ask?
You see a calamity happen on the planet. And you wonder why that calamity, why would he let that particular calamity happen to that particular group of people?
Me not having a mother, me being abused and abandoned by my mother was a calamity. But through that calamity came triumph. Through that calamity came a miracle. I was being cultivated. All the people I'm helping, all the people I'm inspiring, all the people I'm, man does not know why God does things. And man doesn't have the competence to even configure the intention or what God does. Because for you, you could have called it a calamity. God mm-hmm. could have called it moving something to something else. Every action is a reaction.
Okay.
So there's an order. There's an order of things. Yeah.
Is your mother still with us? Do you know?
Nah, I don't know.
Do you remember seeing her?
Yeah, man.
Well, you said when when you say you're not having a mother, like some people, like say you some people have lost their parents at five.
No. My mom's is the shit, man.
I'm sorry, I couldn't. You start breaking up a little bit.
I said my mom's was a piece of shit. So
you don't hear that very often, to be quite honest.
Yeah, because people try to be some people try to be politically correct, or a lot of times we always bashing the father, but you never hear what the mother did.
Facts.
And there's more deadbeat mommies than deadbeat daddies, if you want to be technical.
Really? You think so?
I know so. Women a lot of times go out of their to keep the father away from the child. Go out of their fucking way. Go crazy. So you got a lot of mothers that abandon their children and let the grandmother take care of them. So is she a good mother or is she of her kids? Because a lot of times it'd be the grandmother.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot, unfortunately.
So it's like you front like you a good mom, but your mother really taking care of you. The grandmother taking care of the kids. You ain't shit. You going to the club, you partying. You living with your moms. So you live with your moms and the grandmother is taking. So it's that support system. Remember, the system has designed it in a way to break up the family structure.
Thanks.
So if that same girl had to live on her own, 9 times out of 10, she wouldn't make it. But they got every program in the world to help a single mother. But ain't no fucking real programs to help single fathers. So it's like, but back to your question, I don't fuck with my moms. I don't feel no type of way. I've buried the hatchet. I've created the closure for myself, and I've moved on with my life, and I've moved on well.
Okay, You got a mantra. I didn't write it down. What was your mantra again?
How you think creates how you feel. How you feel becomes an emotion. That emotion becomes a vibration. That vibration becomes a magnet that attracts things to you. How you think creates how you feel. How you feel becomes an emotion. That emotion becomes a vibration. That vibration becomes a magnet that attracts things to you. Your thoughts create your life. Your thoughts create everything that's in your existence. And when you understand how powerful those thoughts are, then you're not going to think things that can lead to your destruction. You're only going to think things that will lead to your elevation.
So there's absolutely no doubt about anything in your life.
Doubt is a thought. Correct?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Doubt is a thought. When you say, like, what you said, there's no what?
No doubt.
Yeah. So in order to doubt something, what you have to do?
You got to consider the options and think that, I can't. This is not going to happen for me.
You got to think. You got to think something.
Yeah.
Right? Negative about what you're doing. And that creates doubt. So why would I waste time thinking about something negative when I can think about something positive about what I'm doing?
You got kids, bro?
My brothers.
And you said you got 8.
Yep.
Youngest.
Huh?
How old is the youngest?
Like about 19.
At least, the reason I'm asking, are they all from, were you like the father figure for all of them?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's tough, bro.
It ain't tough at all. What are you talking about tough? I'm setting a great fucking example.
I'm not.
All my brothers.
Both things can be true.
All my brothers are inspired by me. All of them. They're all inspired by me. They're all motivated by me. They all emulate me in their own unique, individual way.
Who inspires you?
God.
Is there somebody on the planet? I mean, a person, a human vessel.
Myself.
I'm my greatest. Tough.
No, it's not. You trying to project some type of low self-esteem?
Is that what I'm doing?
Yeah. Because when people, like for me, why wouldn't I be my greatest inspiration? You know how amazing I am? You know how you just started off saying, yo, we the legends, and today is no different, no exception.
Okay.
I know how phenomenal I am. I know that I'm a god. I know that I'm royalty. I know that I'm phenomenal. The things I've overcame in my life, the things I've done, the things I've accomplished, my mindset, then I'm helping our people. I inspire me. I'm self-motivated. I'm self-inspired. God has given me everything. God has given me so much strength, so much knowledge, so much passion. It's different over here. So I look at myself. I look at myself, and I become inspired. And I become more. Because people don't think how – a lot of people I haven't seen think how I think or are willing to do the things that I'm willing to do. So I'm my biggest inspiration.
I never thought about it that way. And not to say that I've never thought about self-motivation, but I've never really sat back and thought about it in those terms. And that's a fucking phenomenal way to view shit.
That's why they say don't meet your hero. You know how many people, like, look, Michael Jordan inspired me, right? And I seen a video of him diss a fan. You heard?
Yeah.
You heard me?
Yeah, I heard you.
And fuck Michael Jordan.
Wait. That you broke up a little bit.
I said Michael Jordan used to inspire me until I seen a video with him interacting with fans.
Yeah.
You heard?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm said, just making sure.
I heard said, imagine, could you imagine this cocksucker, you bitch ass? I would have snuffed Mike. I'd have punched him right in his mouth. Fuck you think you is? You only where you are because we put you where you are. Fuck you talking about? We bought the jerseys. We bought the tickets to the game. Yeah, you played the game, motherfucker, but it was a collaborative effort. You played, we paid. So without our dollars, without our support, you would be nothing more than a tall, black, North Carolina dummy.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Dan. How much of my life, let's say I'm Michael Jordan, how much access to me do I owe other people?
You owe people all the access in the world because of what you represent and what you took. You took the money. And we ain't gonna act like Michael Jordan wasn't subservient to the white motherfuckers. You act like this, fam. With power comes responsibility. With power comes etiquette. With power comes grace. With power comes understanding. It don't hurt you to take a picture.
Yeah, I think you would. Is that a tunnel or something? I don't know, but it's what? you like really just stopped. Yeah,
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you a little bit better. It's just that wherever you didn't travel to, the reception is not as good as it was.
Oh, I'm coming across the bridge.
Oh, that might be sure. It.
I don't know if you can. Oh, the camera can.
Yeah. Whatever you point at, I'll see. Like, what bridge you going across?
Oh, this what bridge is this? George Washington.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, man. So what happens is, brother, is these cocksuckers, it's no, you give people access, and it don't happen all the time, man. So it's like, fuck Michael Jordan. And when people see me, and they'll tell you, when people see me in the street and they motivated by me, I stop. I let them take the pictures. I talk to them. I give them some words of encouragement, even if I'm not having the day that I think I should be having.
I agree with you, and I'm on the fence Michael a little Jordan. Bit. Michael Jordan is a bit much.
Huh?
I said I agree with you about Jordan. But I do think that there's there will be times, no matter how, you know, and I'd like to think I'm a humble guy. I like to think that I love our people, but I also know there are going to be days I don't want to be bothered.
Yeah, but don't go in a space where you're going to be, where you know who you are. That come with the territory. You inspired people. So you mad that you inspired people? You're a piece of shit.
No, I'm mad because I'm having a bad fucking day. It got nothing to do with whether I inspire people.
It don't matter. You a figure. That's what comes with it. That's what comes with it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what comes with it. You should never play fucking basketball on TV then, cocksucker. Fuck out of here.
So do you really give
basketball on TV?
Do you really give out your personal number to just anybody?
917-907-3687. Why the fuck not?
So you can sleep.
Listen, man, why the fuck not, man? I'm here to help. I'm here, like, I'm really for the people, man. And you and it's about access, man. It's about access. I was, because I remember being a kid and I didn't have nobody to call. I didn't have nobody to reach out to. I didn't have nobody to really just be real, be fucking genuine, man. You know? So that's what my brand is about, authenticity.
So what's the best call you've received just from a random person you have known that you've never met?
Every single one. Because I value it all. I'm of the people. I'm not above the people. You understand? I'm of the people. I'm not above the people. I don't play those games. I don't have that mindset. I'm of the people. I'm not above the people. And I never will be above the people. I will always be of the people and for the people.
Where you Period. From, bro?
I'm Harlem, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a New Yorker by any stretch of the imagination. But
where you from?
I'm from Detroit.
Oh, okay. What up, though?
What up, though? You know, but that you so un-Harlem from what you the reputation that Harlem has, at least from the outside world.
What do you mean?
Flashy niggas, this pretty self-absorbed. That spent a shitload of money on frivolous. Harlem and Detroit are a lot alike.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't seem to be like that, bruh.
I mean, I can fly. You know what I'm saying? You probably ain't seen my picture. I got it. Sorry, I got it. I don't got it. You assuming I got it because you see a fucking nice truck. I don't fucking even have it. Listen, bro, I'm looking for it. Yeah, listen. Huh? Yeah. If I had it, I'd have gave it to you. Yo, if I had it, I'd have gave it to you. I swear to God. God bless, man. Yeah, I hey, slow the fuck up, man. Yeah, but I get fly though. Don't get twisted. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, I've been to Harlem before though, man. And man, I absolutely loved it, man. Okay.
Come on, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right.
You know what the fuck this is?
Do you have any idea? That's absolutely out of my tax bracket, bro.
Yeah, this ain't no. I'm saying, B. Like what?
My bad. I didn't mean to offend your Harlemness.
I'm just, you know, but money. But see, you got to think. Money makes me more. Money makes you more who you are. You heard?
Facts.
So, if you a pussy and you get some money, you just a pussy with some paper.
You ain't never lied about that.
You ain't nothing but a bitch. You ain't nothing but a bitch on the toilet taking a piss. Pussy and paper. If you a good dude and you got a good heart, money's just gonna give you an opportunity to show more love.
Floyd Mayweather, what's your thoughts on him?
I never really give, like, I don't know. I think Mayweather, he worked really hard.
That he does.
He worked. He literally dedicated his entire life to the sport of boxing. You know what I mean? So everything that he's acquired is well deserved.
Best boxer for you?
The best. I don't think it's no. I think we've had phenomenal boxers, but I don't think it's gonna be ever a best because it's not. You can only say the best if the game is over. Right? That's how. This is my perspective on it, right? Because I used to think about like best boxers. So if I say the best boxer, then I gotta say myself, right? But if you can only say the best if it's over, right? Like if boxing, if they just said we banned in the sport and nobody's ever gonna wear gloves ever again, then you could say who's the best boxer because it's over.
Well, you could say up to this point. For me, I think this person is the GOAT up to this point.
I got a different outlook on it though.
Cause it's like that's from what you're saying, that's like saying, okay, Denver won the championship last year, but they're not the best for that year because the NBA is gonna still keep going.
Right. You can't it's like you say this team Steph Curry on, oh, this is the best. How? When y'all won, but now somebody else gonna win.
Yeah, but you can also occupy a space where you are the best. Like right now, there's some engineer on the planet that all other engineers would look to and say, if I had to pick one guy or one woman to do X, Y, and Z in engineering, it'd be that person.
Right. But at any given night, a motherfucker could lose.
Absolutely.
So how could we, you know what I'm saying? Like, and at any given night, a motherfucker could lose. You know what I'm saying? So how could we, like, I don't know. I just feel like with boxing, mm-hmm. I feel like we have to challenge the status quo. Some people might say Sugar Ray Robinson. Some people might say Muhammad Ali. Some people might say Mike Tyson. Some people might say Salvador Sanchez. Some people might say Floyd Mayweather. Some people might say Mike Tyson, Roy Jones, Marvin Hagler, Sugar Ray Leonard, right? Roberto Duran, Julio Cesar Chavez, right? People are going to have their own opinion, but I feel like we have to strive to change that conversation.
I tend to go for like Joe Louis and okay. boxers of that era. Not necessarily, you know, I was talking about it, and they were saying, well, they were brawlers back then. And I didn't think about that. Yeah, they were brawlers, but they were not just fighting that guy. They were fighting, you know, they didn't even know if they would get lynched that day or not, if they would be able to make it through the crowd. That's gotta be like the pressure alone, and to go in there and want to whoop somebody's ass, that you know the outcome of that may not just be them losing, but you losing too. Mm-hmm. That right there, man. That's.
I feel it. I feel it. But like I think we have to really, really take into consideration like limitations. I feel like every fighter in this generation, for the fighters that see this, I feel like we need to have, for the fighters that see this, I feel like we need to have that mindset of to be the best and push the envelope to where if you're a heavyweight, you should want to surpass Joe Louis. And the key to surpassing Joe Louis is to train harder than Joe Louis, dedicate yourself to your craft more than Joe Louis. I feel like records are meant to be broken and positions are meant to be surpassed. And I feel like it's time for us to elevate the sport of boxing, elevate the game, right? So, I'm tapped all the way the fuck in. I've been tapped all the way the fuck in, you know, like, you know, training 6 days a week. I'm running 6 days a week. I'm living in the gym. I mean, I'm wearing the fucking damn the same sweatsuit every day. I'm just committing. And I'm being honest, man. I'm relentless with this shit, man. You know,
and just for the record, man. If nobody told you today, bro, I'm proud of you.
No, thank you, man. I'm proud of me too, man.
You should be, man. You absolutely should be. Absolutely. You know,
I've learned to grow my own roses. So if anybody, you know, when you guys see this and you're watching it, don't be afraid to grow your own roses. Stop living for imaginary critics that you let live in your mind. You let these people, you always feel somebody's watching you, and you live in your life to a standard for people that don't even exist. You grow your own roses. You write your own praises. You give your own standing ovation to yourself. I'm proud of me. I am proud of me. I'm where I'm supposed to be. And I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be, period. So I don't look for other people to validate what the fuck I'm doing. I don't even care. I'm not asking no fucking permission. You can't climb the ladder of success looking down, waiting for people to give you the head nod to go, because they're never going to give it to you. You'll be dead. You'll be dead waiting for that motherfucker.
Facts.
You know what I mean? So I had to learn that. People told me, listen, man, you know, man, I've been working hard. Shout out to my coach. Shout out to JU. This is like my father, man. Like, it's crazy. I met my boxing coach, and yo, bro, it's crazy, man. It felt like this was my father. Even his son, Jelani. Mm-hmm. He looks like me. It's like, it's weird. Like, this is like my coach is literally like my father, man. I call him pops. He called me son. I love him to death, man. And you know, I never would have found this type of a love if I wasn't willing to go out and create that love for myself. if I didn't love myself. So it's very important to love yourself. It's very important to cultivate yourself. It's very important to really, 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 really know that you special and you matter. And your opinion needs to be the only opinion that you subscribe to.
You know, I have difficulty with being complimented.
Oh, listen, receive the compliments, though. Receive the compliments as long as they're the compliments that you want to receive.
I mean, but even when it's something that I believe, yes, I'm good at this. And somebody comes and says, yo, man, I think you did a phenomenal job at whatever it is.
Wait, hold on one second. Hold on one second.
Okay. You all right?
Yeah. I'm good. Hold on one second. One second.
All right. I'll take a drink while we... And while we on a brief intermission, I went to Savior's Day this weekend. And I am not a religious person by any stretch of the imagination. But the energy boost that it gives you, just as a brother, the religious discipline, I am in awe of that. You know, I am a fan, you know, like, again, I'm not a religious person, but I completely respect religions that require not just you to show up on a particular day and donate money, but you to commit to that relationship and requires effort to show that commitment on a day-to-day basis. But I truly, truly just as a black man in America, sometimes you need an energy boost. And man, Savior's Day is a hell of an energy boost. And my bad, man, while you were gone, I was talking about, I went to Savior's Day this weekend.
Oh, sure, okay.
And I'm not a religious person, I was just saying that. But I appreciate the commitment of the religion.
Right.
I appreciate just being around a bunch of positive black folks. It's just an energy boost for me. Mm-hmm. You know, seeing brothers and sisters being polite to each other, holding doors, thank you, no sir, yes ma'am, how you doing, queen, how you doing, king, and it's just us.
Right.
It just was just, oh man, like if that was something that they would do monthly, I would go monthly.
right.
Where do you think we are as a community, black folks?
I think we're right at the foot, like I think we're right in front of the door of opportunity. I feel like we have like the biggest opportunity we have ever had to elevate, to rise, to get into power, and to change the narrative. I think there's limitless opportunities. I feel like the time is now. I think we're ready for real leadership. I think we're ready to take action. I think we're tired of being the bottom of the totem pole. I think we're tired of getting the shitty end of the stick. I think we're ready to change, you know, to change our lives. And to write our history, to write our story, how we know it's supposed to be written.
What's good leadership?
I mean, good leadership is you have to be of the people, right? You have to be of the people. You cannot be above the people, right? So that's important, right? Like you have to be. It has to be horizontal, not vertical, right? So you have to be of the people. You have to be with the people. You have to be in the community. You have to live in the community. You can't neglect the community. You have to be of the community. You have to be. This has to be your neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have to not be willing to compromise, and you have to be unapologetic, and you can't be for sale. But whatever it takes to uplift your people, then you're willing to do it. Whatever you have to lose in terms of relationships and burning bridges, then bust out the gasoline and give me a book of matches, because you're not going to be able to build strategic partnerships with people who don't want your people to survive or even thrive. And our leadership and leadership also has to be into institution development, because, you know, we're the only race of people trying to thrive in the homeland of our Holocaust. When you look at the Jews, they had to leave Germany. They left, right? So we're still in the pit of hell. We're still in our homeland of the Holocaust, right? And this is why we're struggling so much. When you go to Africa, you know, you're going to be the energy is going to be different. The government is going to treat you different. So why would I be sitting here trying to fix something that other people who are trying to hinder me from fixing it have so much, they have too many generations of head start. So it's like, how do I even catch up? So, you know, leadership has to have the courage to speak on things that are hard to speak on and have confidence and be unapologetic. And also not just make promises, but have goals and deadlines and be willing to go through the trial and error process to reach an actual solution for the problems that plague our people.
My boy and his team, they did a documentary, or they started one called Revolution or Exodus. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question to you is, for our community, which would you prefer?
Neither. I don't think I have to be in exile, right? And I don't think I have to actually fight. I think I just need to get up and go back to Africa, right? I think
that's Exodus, then.
No, I don't think it's because I'm not. Because at the end of the day, I'm not subscribing to me leaving somewhere. Okay. I'm just going somewhere, right? I mean, to be exiled, you know, you kind of got to get the boot.
No. I'm not saying exiled. Exodus is what you're describing, though, is making a conscious decision to say, we don't want to be here no more. We out.
Yeah, but I'm still going to be here too as well.
Okay, I got you. I feel what you're saying.
So,
kind of like a dual citizenship.
Of course. Okay. I believe in that. And I believe that we have to stop letting people create the tunnels that we have to go down to be free. So I choose rebellion. I like that word. I like rebellious. I choose rebellion over revolution. I choose redemption. Right? I don't even believe we have to fight these people. I think we just have to leave them the fuck alone.
Is that possible in this country?
1,000,000%.
Because we've tried that 1,000 times over the years.
No, we had to learn. Remember, everything is trial and error. So, you know, we had to learn the enemy. We had to learn the enemy. And then through learning the enemy, we learned how to engage the enemy. We had to learn the enemy.
I mean, like Black Wall Street, for example.
Yeah, we had to learn the enemy, though. We had to learn the enemy. And then you have to prioritize the community that you build in. Have you ever seen a white man without a gun?
No.
Right. So how can you build a economic financial institution, but don't have a security?
Yeah. Or a defense mechanism.
A defense institution.
Yeah.
Facts. They go hand in hand.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that one.
So everybody talks about Black Wall Street. Everybody talks about, you know, the Harlem Renaissance, and why are we not talking about black police department? Why are we not talking about black militias? Why are we not talking about black armed forces?
Yo, and I always give props to Grandmaster Jay. I don't know if you're familiar, but he in fact did have a very large black militia, the Not Fucking Around Coalition, and they locked him up for some bullshit.
But what I'm saying is, how could you lock me up? This is what I'm saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like a black man going and locking up the governor.
Got you.
Who gave you the power to lock me up?
Yeah.
I relinquished my power and gave you the power and ability to lock me up because I didn't focus and build institutions.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, that's like, hold on, let me just Google police commissioner NYC. Hold on.
And why are you doing that, bro? You know, you strike me as the leader that you talk about.
Okay.
Like, everything I've heard and seen, bro.
Edwin Caban is the police commissioner, is the police commissioner of the New York City Police Department, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a black man from Brownsville Projects going and telling him he's under arrest. You see?
Yeah.
It sounds insane, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't begun to develop our own institutions for self-defense. You see? So now when you have an equal power structure, then you can't abuse the power structure. The so-called Jews have developed a level of self-defense. So this is why you don't see them getting shot and killed by police officers. The Chinese have developed a level of self-defense. This is why you don't see them getting shot and killed by police officers. The Arabs, the Indians, they have developed a level of self-defense. This is why you don't see them getting shot and killed by police officers. And the only reason we don't have a self-defense mechanisms in development because we have been conditioned not to do so. So there's a conditioning. And again, that's systemic racism. That's white supremacy. But white supremacy is an illusion. White supremacy is a lie. Systematic racism is a lie, but they have conditioned us to buy into the lie. And is it real? Yes, but we gave it the power to make it real. But Harriet Tubman didn't believe so. Nat Turner didn't believe so. Huey P. Newton didn't believe so. Right? Fred Hampton didn't believe so. Malcolm X didn't believe so. Right? So, you know, Khaled Muhammad didn't believe so. I don't believe so.
So, okay, look, just devil's advocate. Is it that they not necessarily...
You can't advocate for the devil, sir. Why would I want to advocate for the devil? That's the problem. So you advocating for the devil means you're defending Satan.
Counterpoint.
Okay, I can advocate. I don't advocate for the enemy.
I got you. Counterpoint. Okay. Is it that not necessarily that they didn't believe in it, but they believe more so in the righteousness on their side, and they were willing to die for whatever to attain.
Listen, no,
the goal.
White supremacy is a white supremacy is a subconscious construct. So Europeans have created platforms and institutions to condition the minds of Europeans to believe that they are superior, which is an actual lie.
That's true.
But they have conditioned the minds of Europeans to believe that they are superior, believe that white supremacy is a natural birthright. And then it became a societal acceptance of white supremacy and white privilege. And in some extreme cases, an expectation. So when now you expect white people to have privilege, you expect white people to have it easier, when in all actuality, the route to easy is the same for any ethnicity. So we have to create a subconscious construct for black supremacy. We have to create a conscious and a subconscious construct for black supremacy, and that conscious and subconscious construct will be more powerful than white supremacy, because our conscious and our subconscious construct is actually rooted in truth. Theirs is rooted in lie.
100 years from now, black people, I mean, white people numerically are us. Have we changed that?
Say it again?
100 years from now, numerically, white people and black people have switched. We are numerically way more dominant than they are.
We talking about population?
Yes.
We're already the majority.
Are we? In this country?
Yes, in this on the planet, period.
I'm not talking about the planet. I'm talking about in this country.
Bruh, who do you see more, black people or white people? Think about it.
Depending on where I go.
Bro, think about it.
You ever been to Utah?
Bruh, listen. There's more black states than white states. Even if you break it up state to state.
No.
Listen, what's the population of New York City?
New York City's crazy.
Over 30 million.
Yeah. New York and LA,
so you gotta
crazy.
Add up. So what you got to do is, listen, you cannot believe propaganda. This is why I told you. I just told you. You believe in a lie because they told you the lie. And they put it in a piece of paper that you could Google it a lot. Like, no, white supremacy is a subconscious construct, and they have created institutions and used media to perpetuate their lies. They made us think that they were the majority, like they have more power. They don't. They're the minority.
I'm just going off of my experience in this country and traveling this country. Like, I live in Ohio now.
You're not looking at it right. The population of New York City, if you take up 10 states,
right,
their population is not equal to fucking one borough in New York. What are you talking about? Like, they're the minority. And we've been on this planet longer than them. We've been on this planet for over 300,000 years. White people have been on this planet for under 6,000 years. So at the end of the day, to answer your question, we have to know who we are and only live in the thought of who we are and insulate ourselves from things that try to make us think of ourselves in a way that we're not. You have to protect your mind. You have to insulate yourself.
Now, I guess for that one, I would have to say that on the one hand, don't believe white folks. And trust me, I'm going off experience that I get you on that one. But on the other hand, believe the white folks counted the numbers correctly.
Listen, man, I don't believe them. I don't believe in them. And I don't give a fuck about them. I'm not even paying it no mind. I'm focused on myself. I'm not seeking their acceptance or their validity. I'm not seeking their validation. I'm not seeking their permission. I'm not their property. I am free. I am free. I'm God's child. And if my father's a God, I am a God. He's the big G. I'm the little G. Okay? So I'm strengthening, just like I'm training for my fight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting stronger. I'm getting faster. I'm more defensive minded. I'm punching different because I'm training every day. I'm preparing for battle. I'm preparing for victory, and I will be victorious. And my preparation is perfect and flawless. So it's the same thing with my existence as a black man, as a melanated man, right? I have to practice. I have to protect myself. I have to insulate myself. I have to keep myself away from, you know, things that are not conducive to my higher vibration, to my high self-esteem.
Okay.
And if it doesn't feed me, I stay away from it.
I'm not mad at that. And I know you got shit to do. I'm not going to hold you up too long. What's a good book to read?
I definitely recommend the Quran. The Quran. I got a book coming out too. So I got to start plugging my book. I got a book coming out. So definitely my book. So be on the lookout for that.
What's the name of it, bro?
I don't want to give away the name yet.
Okay.
But it's coming.
Okay.
But I would say before you read, meditate. Before you read, meditate. It's very important. It's very important to meditate and because everything you need is already internalized. We're the fathers of civilization. We're the fathers of science. We're the fathers of math. So meditation is important. You have to kind of like turn everything inward, and you'll be surprised what type of knowledge you find inside yourself. So I think the best book to read is yourself, is your mind.
Yo, this has been a phenomenal conversation, bro.
Appreciate you, man.
No, I appreciate you. If there's, I don't, when your book comes out, let me know.
Oh yeah, we definitely, hey, man. Listen, next week we definitely gonna do a. I definitely want to set up so we can do a. We can definitely do a part two.
Okay.
I love your platform. Appreciate the patience, and you've been very professional. So I definitely want to, you know, immediately try to do a quick, you know, part two, so I could be sitting stationary and.
Okay.
We tapped in.
Yeah, but whatever y'all need, bro. And trust me, man, I waited 3 years for a Pete Rock interview, so I'm a pretty patient individual.
No doubt.
Pete Rock was dope as fuck, by the way, too. Shout out to Pete Rock. But if there's anything I can, you know, outside of that, anything I can ever do for you, bro, I'm not sure what, but don't hesitate, and I got you. I appreciate your representative for being very diligent and patient with me. So, you know, I recorded this, so I'll throw some clips out there. I'll probably do some tonight. Hopefully, if not tonight, I'll do a couple Wednesday. What is today? Monday? Yeah. And then I'll put the interview out next Saturday.
That's okay, cool with
you.
Sure.
That works for you?
For sure.
All right. Again, truly, truly, truly thank you, bro. And yo, man, keep doing you. We need more of you.
Thank you, man.
You know, and shout out to your brothers, man.
For sure, man. Shout out to them, man.
they got a leader. Yeah, I'm sure they know it already.
Yes, they do.
You know, on that note, man, have a good one, man.
You too.
We'll talk.
All right.
Peace.
Peace.
Yo, very, very, very dope conversation, man. Y'all make sure y'all tap in, man. I keep telling y'all, man, we only rock with legends around here. And today was absolutely no exception. You know, what you do will get you on the show, but it's your story that makes you stand out. I'm Jobs, and this has been another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio.